Sometimes when we're out of God's fellowship or out of God's will for our life, the old devil will come along and try to tell us some things about our life. And usually we're miserable because we're out of God's will. And if you're not careful while you're out of God's will, you may begin to doubt your salvation. Or things might come along that you wonder why. An old devil will tell you that, you know, you're not saved because you're really living out of God's will. Sometimes we doubt and we don't have the assurance that we need in our life because we haven't studied God's Word and we don't know God's Word enough. We haven't grown as disciples in Christ and we're not what we're supposed to be. You see, after we're saved, we're supposed to grow. You're not supposed to stay a baby in Christ. And each one of us need to grow in our Christian faith. Listen, no matter how old you are, you can still grow in Christ. I think you'll be growing your whole lifetime in Christ. I've been saved now for something like 40 years. Every day with Jesus, I love that song, is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I learn to love Him more and more. And I know Jesus loves me, and I have a peace in my heart that passes all understanding. I know where I'm going when I die. Every day, I was telling someone a while ago, I'm the oldest living male in our family. All my other males in our family died before they got 39. But you know, I was thinking, God has been so gracious to me. He has blessed me in such a way that's just, you know, I can't give Him enough praise. And today I know that if I die and I don't live any longer, well, I have peace that I've got a home with God. I have assurance. One thing we believe as Christians and as Baptists, we believe in the security of the believer. We say it like, some people say it like this, once saved, always saved. Well, the doctrine of the security of the believer. And if people today will put their faith in Jesus Christ, and you know that you're saved, then you can feel secure in your Christian life. And what we need in our life today is peace. We are desperately looking for peace. There's many people today in our society that are empty. They're lonely. They need peace. There's young people today that are living there. Just seems like the future is hopeless for them. Yet, if they have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they can find the peace that passes all understanding. Now, today I want to talk about the security of the believer. I preached on this many years ago, and I want to preach on it again because we need security in our faith. Look, turn in your Bibles, if you will. There's so many passages of Scripture that you could preach on that talks about the security of the believer. But I love this passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 8. I love this passage of Scripture. It just talks about security as a believer. In verse 35 of Romans chapter 8, it says this, "Who shall separate us from the love of God," or Christ? "Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" None of those things can separate us, can they? "As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, created thing, rather, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that there is nothing better than just knowing you and having the peace in our heart that we will have eternal life, that we have a home prepared for us. Lord, I thank you today that there's people here that some of them are hopeless. Today, some of them are living without Christ Jesus in their life. They need a Savior. I thank you that you came to die so that they could have a Savior. And you are their Savior. Lord, speak to their heart and let them see that they need to put their faith in you as Lord of their life and start living for you. There's some in this service today that have been Christians, but they haven't grown in their Christian life. And the old devil comes and leads them astray. And Lord, I pray this morning that they will come back and know a peace that passes all understanding, that they can live their Christian life as it's supposed to be, so that they will know that nothing can separate them from the love of God. Heavenly Father, I pray today that if there's someone here that's visiting with us, that they're looking for a church home, and this is the place that you've led them. Lord, I pray today might be the day that you lead them our way. And God, we give you the praise for whatever happens today, because we want you to be lifted up in our lives and in this service today. For it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. When you have a relationship with God, Paul says nothing can separate you from that relationship with God. Now, the doctrine of security of the believer, or I said a while ago, once saved, always saved. Some people don't believe that. Some people walk through their life every day thinking they can lose their salvation. It's probably because they think in their doctrines that they did something to help get them saved. Well, we know that the Bible teaches that you can absolutely do nothing to save yourself. It's all Jesus Christ. It's God from the beginning to the end. And this morning, I want you to notice with me some things about salvation. One thing I want you to notice, that you cannot lose your salvation, friends, because of the possession by the shepherd. Over in the Old Testament in Psalm, David was a man who did all kinds of things. David was a man, the Bible says, after God's own heart. But we know that David, when he was a young man, had a man murdered. David, when he was a young man, had adultery in his life. But this does not mean that David was not saved. For the Bible says in the same psalm that David said, "Lord, return unto me the joy of my salvation." You see, those things are sinful and they grieve God. But David was a man that was saved, and he didn't say, "Lord, return unto me my salvation." He says, "Lord, return unto me the joy of my salvation." Friends, I don't believe you can live outside of God's will and have joy in your life. You cannot sit home day after day and not read your Bible and study God's Word and expect to have joy in the Christian life. It just won't be that way. David says, "Lord, return unto me the joy of my salvation." And later on, I believe he wrote this beautiful passage of Scripture, "The Lord is my shepherd." Friends, can you say that this morning? The Lord is my shepherd this morning. Without any doubt, he is my shepherd. He is personal to me. I've had a relationship with him for now about 40 years. And it is growing every single day. John 10:27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice," and what? "I know them." We belong to the shepherd. We belong to Jesus. We cannot lose our salvation because we are possessed by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When I talk about losing salvation or losing that relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about a person who has just joined a church. You see, I believe a lot of our people across the Southern Baptist Convention, across the Christians, call themselves Christians, have just simply joined a church. They simply come down and had their name added to a roll of a church. But the Bible talks about a heavenly book. And if your name is not in the book, the large book, then you're not saved. I don't care how many churches you join. You can join the Church of Christ. You can join the Methodist Church, Pentecostal Church, Presbyterian Church, Baptist Church, Mormon Church, whatever you want to do. It will not save you. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, many people in our churches do not have the peace of God in their heart because deep down inside, they're still thinking that there's something they have to do to get their salvation. Many make a profession in Jesus Christ, but they do not become His possession. I belong to Jesus. I love that old song, "Now I Belong to Jesus." Jesus belongs to me. Not for time alone, but for eternity. You see, I belong to Jesus. If you've been saved, you belong to Jesus. You are His possession. Many people say with lips outwardly, "Preacher, I believe in God. I trust in God. I commit my life to Christ." But inside, in their heart, there's never been that change in their life. You see, we often talk about with our lips and with our words that we have a relationship with Christ, but their heart is never changed. And the Bible says it's a heart change that we need, you see, in life. Listen to what the Scripture says. Matthew 7:22, Jesus says, "Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? With lip service they're saying, Christ is Lord. Hadn't we cast out devils in your name?" With their service, they're saying they belong to the Lord. "Haven't we done many wonderful works?" With their working in their church, they're saying, "Lord, we belong to you." Doesn't that sound like church people today? "Well, preacher, I go to church." "Well, preacher, you know, I've given to church. I believe in a God." But Jesus says something here. "And I will say unto them, I never knew you. I don't know you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now, that's not what they were doing, was it? Working iniquity? They said they were casting out devils in His name. They said, "We were prophesying in your name." But if you're doing something without knowing Jesus Christ in your heart, He says it's iniquity. It's a work of sin. Man, that's powerful, isn't it? And Jesus didn't say, "Listen, guys, I once knew you and you lost it." He said, "I never, never knew you." That ought to make us wake up and think. When I talk about security of believers, somebody said, "Well, preacher, I know that Judas lost his salvation." The Bible says he lost his salvation. He went with the Lord. He was one of His 12. He was like Peter, James, and John. No. He was called to follow Jesus Christ. He went everywhere with Jesus Christ. He went with the disciples. Judas, if you look at the Bible, he taught, he preached. The Lord knows many who are involved in the church. The Lord says, "I know everybody that's involved in the church. I know that they made a profession of faith, but they are not of me." Even though they go to church, Judas didn't lose his salvation. Judas never had it, folks. He never was saved. And Jesus says in John 6, he was a devil from the beginning. Now, don't you place your salvation today and think, "Well, I'm as good as Judas." Well, Judas was lost. He didn't lose his salvation. He never had it. Now listen, I want you to see the contrast here. Jesus said to these, "I never knew you." Now, in John 10:27, Jesus says of his, "I know my sheep." You see? I never knew you, but I know my sheep. The important question is not whether or not you know Jesus, folks. I've said this before. It's not whether I know Jesus, but does Jesus know me? Does Jesus know you this morning? Does he know you? Is he in your heart, folks? You're one of his sheep if he knows you. But if you're one of his sheep, guess what? He says, "And they follow me." Now, if you're his sheep, you're going to be doing what? You're going to be known of Jesus because you're going to be following him. And he also says this, "And I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Isn't that amazing? You shall never perish if you know Jesus, and he knows you. If you follow him, he says, "I'll give to you eternal life, and you shall never perish." I love that old song, "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known." Folks, the knowing Jesus as his possession, there's the greatest peace in your heart that you can ever have. If you're looking for peace this morning, if you're looking for the hope in your life this morning, you need to belong to Jesus Christ. You need to be possessed by Jesus Christ. Does Jesus know you today? Are you his sheep? Possession of the Savior. Now, another thing, you cannot lose your salvation because of the beautiful promises of God. You know, God doesn't lie. God doesn't promise us something and not fulfill it. When he says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you," he promises you that. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. If you're his, you're going to walk with him every day. He's not going to leave you out there in the cold and the darkness. Listen at this passage of Scripture. John says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into" what? "Condemnation." You shall not come into condemnation, but you have been passed from death unto life. Now, true believers will never come under condemnation of God. For you have passed from that. You've grown from that. Your sins have been pardoned upon the cross of Calvary. And the Bible says, now since you've been pardoned, you have everlasting life. It means right now you have everlasting life. I'm as good as in heaven today. I've just got to finish the life, the course, the race that God has for me down here on earth. You ever thought about that? I'm just as good as, if I die right now, I'm going to be with God. It's written, my name's written there. Jesus says, I passed from condemnation. There's no judgment going to come all my way. My sins have already been judged on the cross of Calvary with Jesus Christ. His blood, the blood of Jesus, folks, cleanses me and washes us white as snow. And God doesn't see my sin. He sees his son, Jesus Christ, who died for my sin. And I've been passed into everlasting life. Right now, it says, something you have now. It's not something that I'm going to gain out in the future. He says, you have everlasting life right now. I'm not going to die. All this old physical body is going to quit breathing one day. But the Bible says, the moment I close my eyes, draw my last breath, I'm going to see Jesus face to face. Amen. And I know that in my heart. Folks, we ought to know that in our life. There's some saying, if only I can get to heaven, I'll be saved. Let me tell you something. If you're thinking that, if only you can get to heaven, you'll be safe, you're not going to be safe. Safety is not in a place. Safety is in a person. The person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You think about that. If I can only get to heaven, I'll be safe. You know what? I get tickled at all these people that are trying to not die. They're spending millions in case an atomic bomb is dropped on the United States. They'll have a bunker down in the ground, and they're going to live 15 or 16 more years. You know that's silly. That is really silly. What are you going to be doing down there hiding for 15 or 20 years? What kind of life is that? About like a mole underground, see? Man, that ain't life. If that old bomb comes and it annihilates everybody, I'm going to be with God. Man, that's life. I've got a good place. A place where I don't have to hide underground. A place where I don't have to strive every day for the food. The Bible says it's a place called heaven. Heaven's my home. Somebody said, well, you making preparation today? I did that years ago, brother. I did that years ago. Look at that word. You have passed from death unto life. In the Greek tense, it means something that has already happened. I have already passed from death unto everlasting life. Folks, that is a promise of God. You don't have nothing to worry about if you're saved, if you belong to Him. We talked about in Corinthians the other night. In the 1 Corinthians, the chapter, we talked about in Christ. If you look at those first 10 verses, Paul mentions you're in Christ Jesus, in Christ, Lord Jesus Christ. He mentions that 10 times in those 10 passages and verses of Scripture. Folks, we need to be today in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, you're outside of Christ and you're lost. It's just that simple. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either in Christ or out of Christ. That's all it is. Have you been possessed by the Savior? Have you heard the promises of God? You cannot lose your salvation because of that. And you'll never lose your salvation, one, because of the perfection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at Hebrews 10:14. I'm going to read it to you. For by one sacrifice, He has made perfect, listen to this, forever those who are being made perfect. It says, by one sacrifice, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, His blood. Back in the Old Testament, we know that they had to bring in a sacrifice every year and offer that sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ, to God, for the sins of the people. The high priest did that. The Bible says Jesus Christ being made perfect, we're being made perfect by His blood that was shed on Calvary. You see, He was that perfect sacrifice forever, it says. Not just for a year, not for a month, not for a day. But He says by being made perfect forever, He was that one sacrifice. When He died on the cross, Jesus said these words, "It is finished." He wasn't talking about His death, because we know that three days later, He rose again. It wasn't talking about His life. He said the gift of salvation, the sacrifice of salvation is complete. Everything God asked to do, I did. For you, and for me to lose my salvation is to say that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was inadequate. It is to call God a liar, because He said it is finished, it is complete. So why should I doubt that? Why should I worry about that? Man, perfection. He was the perfect sacrifice. And you can't lose your salvation, folks, because Jesus Christ was perfect. You cannot lose your salvation also because of the perseverance of the Spirit. Listen to this, Philippians 1:6. Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of the Lord, or Jesus Christ. He who hath begun a good work in you. Now, let me tell you something. When I was saved, it wasn't me that started that work. I can recall the moment the Holy Spirit started working in my life. He began to work in my life and tell me that I was lost. He showed me that I needed a Savior. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He works in our life. He showed me that I needed a Savior. And it was God showing me that, that allowed me the faith to step out and say, I want that sacrifice. I want the Savior in my life. He begun that work. Now, if you think, well, one day I am going to... one day, people are so dumb. You know, I've had people say, now, preacher, one day when I get it all right, I'm going to have faith and I'm going to step out and trust Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's not the way it works, friends. If you wait till you want to get saved, you'll never get saved, because you're not going to want to do it. It has to be the Holy Spirit quickening to your heart that you need to get saved, that allows you the faith to step out by faith and come to be saved. That's what the Holy Spirit, Paul says, being confident of this very thing, he which began a good work in you, and I got news for you, he says he's going to finish that good work. Now, I'm not talking about me working for my salvation. I'm talking about the Spirit of God working in you. I don't know about you, but when he started working in me, man, he started doing some work. I think about that old Indian chief up there on the mountain at South Dakota, that they're shipping out. I can't think of his name now. Crazy Horse. Well, I was about like Crazy Horse. I was crazy. But God saved me, and he began to chipping out. It took a long time. Boy, he started working on this area of my life. He started working on that area of my life. And you know what? For a while there, I didn't want to give up some of them areas. But he kept chipping away. He kept making me miserable in those areas. Until one day I said, okay, Lord, I need to change that. You see, he makes you aware of those things. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit working out the salvation and finishing the work in your life. And you know what? I was amazed, simply amazed, that God would call me to preach. I know when I was saved, May 17th, 1975, Eastside Baptist Church in Rusk, Texas, the fourth row back in a revival. I'm sure of that. Now, I didn't always live like it, but I was sure that night that nobody told me I needed to step out. Nobody forced me to step out. I didn't follow my brother down the aisle. It wasn't because my mother said, son, you need to get saved. It was because the Spirit of God was making me so miserable in the life that I was living that I had to step out by faith and say, yes, Lord, I want to trust you, or either I would die in my sin. And there's another thing that I'm sure of. In 1979, in North Dakota, at Devil's Lake, North Dakota, he called me to preach. No two things have ever been any clearer in my mind than those two callings of God. They burned within my mind, those dates and those moments. And I said, God, I know that you're going to finish the work that you started, because I didn't want to preach. I ran from God. I hid from God. I was just like old Jonah. I was hiding in the belly of the well, and he found me even there. That's God's guarantee, folks. The Holy Spirit now presides in my life, and he which started that work in my life one day will finish it. Who is it depending upon? You or God? In your life, one or the other is working. If you're trying to work your salvation to get there, you won't make it. But if the Holy Spirit is working in you, man, you're as good as there. Now, some are saying, and they always say, what about all the people, preacher, that joined the church and no longer are with us, no longer are serving in the church, are they saved? Let me tell you something. I can't speak for them. I only know what God has done in my life. You can't speak for them. You only know what God is doing in your life. I am not going to tell you that, yes, they're all saved, because that would be stupid. For the Bible says probably they're not saved, all of them. But I'm not going to tell you that they are lost completely, because some of them are saved and they're just running from God. But I do believe one day, if they're saved, He will finish that work in their lives. You know, God will either save them by making them so miserable they will come back, or He will take them on to heaven at an early age because He don't want them to disgrace His name any longer. Now, preacher, they joined the church. They were baptized. They were excited. And they dropped out. Did they lose their salvation? No, I don't believe. According to the Bible, probably they never had it to start with. You've got to have something before you can lose it. Amen? Jesus says, they went out from us because they weren't of us. And folks, I do believe that there's a lot of people that are out there that are lost. Yes, they've joined a church, but they're lost. They've come to church, but they're lost. They've done all of these things, but they were never off Jesus Christ. Someone once said, and I read it in a book, and I wrote it down, the faith that fizzles before it is finished had a flaw from the first. Think about that. That is why I believe today many are sitting today by a television set watching television. I believe that's the reason many of our people that have joined our churches they're out on the lake today fishing. Not that they lost their salvation, they just never had it, folks. You think you're saved because you made a decision and you joined a church. And even I've had people say, well, preacher, I was baptized as a baby. Listen, that's why you had better feel uncomfortable about your position in Christ, because you've never really given your life to Christ, because a faith that won't last till it's finished had a flaw from the first. Well, if you've got real faith in Jesus Christ, guess what? You'll finish the course. The Bible says in 1 John 2:19, they went out, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued to walk with us. In other words, they weren't born again. I love to go back and read old Nicodemus. You know the story of Nicodemus? He was a man that, he was a religious man. He knew the laws, everything. But he came to Jesus one night, and Jesus says, Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. And he was confused as a calf looking at a new gate, folks. He just didn't know what to think. But let me tell you something. Jesus explained to him about the Spirit and about coming to life. And he says that he that is born of the Spirit is safe. And I believe old Nicodemus came to Jesus that night, folks. He realized that his good life wasn't going to get him into heaven. That's why Jesus says over in Matthew, many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. You see, persevering in your faith doesn't save you, but it demonstrates that you are saved. What about those who know they're saved? Well, if you know you're saved, folks, rejoice in your salvation. You ought to be smiling, biggest people in church. And you know, I agree with Brother Jay. We look like we've been sucking on green persimmons a lot of the time. Man, you ought to be happy about your salvation. You ought to be able to clap your hands. You ought to be able to stomp your feet if you want to. I don't mind you raising your hands if that's what the Lord leads you to do. That's fine. All of those are just happy feelings, you know. I was sitting up here a while ago when they say, "Isn't he good?" And my Methodist foot over here just wanted to dance. The old Baptist said, "No, no, 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 don't do that." But I'm happy in Jesus Christ, folks. And the Bible says we need to be happy in Jesus Christ. But I want to know about you this morning. Do you have the assurance in your life that you're saved? Do you have peace about it? If you don't have peace, it could be that you're not living in the center of God's will. It could be that you have some unforgiveness that you just need to get right in your life. Or it could be that you're really lost and you need to know Jesus Christ. You see, I believe the Bible says these things have been written that you may know that you have eternal life. I know I have eternal life. I know that I have eternal life. I know the date, and you don't have to know the date, but you ought to know when God spoke to you. I know that date as well as any. Matter of fact, I know that better than I know when my anniversary was. You see? And I'm not laughing at myself. My wife can't tell the anniversary. I asked her the other day, I said, "How many years have we been married?" She said, "Well, let me see. To her, it's been 40. Five. To me, it's just been 40. You see? Do you know the day you were saved? If you don't, if you don't know in your heart, we had some last week that came in our nightly service, said they wasn't sure of their salvation. They wanted to get it right. Folks, that's all I'm saying. As Christians, we ought to be sure that we're going to heaven. We ought to have a peace about that. Sometimes I lose the joy because I'm just like everybody else. Sometimes I lose my temper. Sometimes I say things that are hurtful. And let me tell you something, when I do something like that, God gets on me with both feet. But I know I belong to Him. I know I belong to Him. You know, that's the reason my daddy always said, "This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you," when he whipped me. And I realized what he was saying, that it grieves God when we sin. And he don't want to have to punish us. He wants to love us. He wants us to know the joy of salvation. But if he has to punish us, he will do it. Would you come to him this morning? If you're here today and you're lost, you don't have assurance of salvation. You can't even go back and say, "You know, I don't know when I was saved. I don't even know if I was saved." Then you need to come for salvation. Maybe you're here this morning and you're like a lot of people. You can know the day and everything, but you haven't grown spiritually. You haven't read your Bible. You hadn't studied the Word of God. And the old devil's been working on you, beating on you, whipping on you. He'll do that because you don't know how to stand against him. You get in the Word of God and put on the whole armor of God like the Bible says, and you'll be able to stand against the fiery darts that he throws at you. And when he comes along and tells you that you hadn't got peace or you don't have heaven, you can laugh at him and say, "Yes, I do, because of Jesus Christ. I belong to him. I've been possessed by Jesus Christ. I have been persevering by the Holy Spirit in my life. And I have a Savior who died for me that's perfect. And I don't need the old devil any longer." Maybe you're here this morning and you want a church home, and this is the place God has led you. Would you come? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for these that are here. And Lord, we want peace in our hearts. We want security in our life. And the only security that we can have in a day like we live in today is in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray this morning, if we haven't put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we're not possessed by the Savior, Lord, this morning we'll let you come into our life and give you our life completely. Change our hearts, change our minds about what sin is and about who you are. And Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for what you're going to do, for it's in Christ's precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen.